This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast ahead of the 2014 Ryder Cup. Dave Kellner here in the studio and live on the line now from the Gleneagles Clubhouse is Jamie Spence. Good afternoon, Jamie.
Good afternoon, David.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good. It's a lovely day. The weather forecast is good for the week, we all hope. So put your waterproofs away, get your sunglasses out and we'll be all right.
Jamie, this is, for people that don't know, your third time being team liaison officer for the European Ryder Cup team. What's the atmosphere like, first of all?
Yeah, within the team, yeah. Yesterday, Monday's when all the players arrive. It's a manic day. They're trying on all their kit and just getting used to everything, really, and the layout of all the rooms and the team rooms and all the rest of it. And today, obviously, Tuesday, first day of practice for the players. So they're all out there on the golf course playing 18 holes and just familiarising themselves with the course and the conditions.
You've obviously been involved in the past two Ryder Cups. How does this one differ from those Ryder Cups at Celtic Manor and at Medina?
Well, it's just getting bigger all the time. The build, the grandstands, all the hospitality units are huge. The media centre, I'm looking over it now, it's absolutely massive. You could play two 11-a-side football games in there by the looks of it. So it's just a massive sporting event now in the sporting calendar, the Ryder Cup. And when you go onto that first tee, there's over 3,000 people all wrapped around the first tee, cheering everybody on. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere there on the Friday. And from a playing point of view, you need nerves of steel walking up the tunnel towards the first tee.
And the atmosphere within the team room, similar to Celtic Manor and Medina?
Yeah, it's good. It's always good. It amazes me how the players come together and they're trying to beat each other all year long as individuals. It's a very selfish game, golf. They put all that to one side. You know, we've seen Sergio trying to chase down Rory, they've all been trying to chase down Rory all year long. They're trying to compete. They're all trying to win major championships. And when they come together in this Ryder Cup, the European team bond as one. It's a great thing to see.
The outright prices, Jamie, 4-6, the Europeans. The tie, 10-1, the USA, 13-8. Europe have won 7 of the last 9 Ryder Cups. The two that you've been involved with, both gone to Europe, both by the same margin as well, 14.5, 13.5 at Celtic Manor and 14.5, 13.5 last time at Medina. Monty was captain at Celtic Manor and Jose Maria Olazabal captain at Medina. How does Paul McGinley compare as captain?
Yes, very, very, very similar. He had his first meeting last night with the team, speaking to the team, spoke very, very well last night. Then we had a general welcome for all the other staff. He did a great job. He produced a couple of motivational videos and a couple of funny things as well. It was an excellent evening. Yeah, he's in the same vein as the other two captains. Plenty of experience going forward. And I think when you mention the scores at Medina and Celtic Manor, I think we're going to have a similar thing. These teams are quite well matched. I do make us favourites, the European side, but not by much. If you look at the world ranking terms, they're very close in terms of average world ranking position. The teams are very close together indeed. We're top-ended, of course, with Rose and Garcia and McIlroy, but they've got strength in depth as well, the USA team, without Dustin Johnson, Tiger Woods and Jason Duffner. So two strong sides. I think it's got to be close. I can't see any other way, David.
Yeah, I agree. And you look at the scores: 14.5, 13.5 to the Europeans, 9-1, 14.5, 13.5 to the US in the betting at 11-1. I noticed that Paul McGinley sent his groupings out in threes. We're recording this Tuesday afternoon. On Tuesday morning, is that an indicator of what's to come in terms of possible pairings, Jamie?
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into it because the last 6 players all had media commitments, so they didn't come out of the media centre till later, so that had a bearing on it. And also playing 18 holes today, they're only playing 9 holes Wednesday practice and 10 holes Thursday, whatever it is. They're keen to get the players round a little bit. Last time in Medina, it took almost 6 hours for a 4-ball to play. So by playing in threes, you're going to get around the golf course a little bit quicker. It does take a lot out of the players this week. They're out there an incredible amount of time. Obviously, they're doing their best with all the punters as well. They want their pictures taken and autographs and all the rest of it. So the practice rounds can take forever. So half the reason is Paul put them in the threes. But you can read what you will into those pairings. I have no other information than that. If I did, I wouldn't tell you anyway, because I would self-destruct.
Thank you, Jamie. As far as the teams are concerned, Paul McGinley, his three picks for this Ryder Cup. Stephen Gallagher got a pick, along with Lee Westwood and Ian Poulter. Two of those pretty straightforward picks, I'd imagine, with Westwood and Poulter, given their experience in the Ryder Cup. Gallagher picked. He's been in outstanding form this year, and obviously, a Scotsman, he's going to bring something to the team as well.
Yeah, I think the way he played the Italian Open, his last round there, how could you leave him out? And not only that, coupled with his course form round here, I think he's played in about 15 events on this golf course. He's got a terrific record around the PGA Centenary course, the Ryder Cup course. He knows this course better than any of our team. He's played it plenty of times. So there were plenty of reasons to include Gallagher in the side. And he's a terrific striker of the ball, Stephen T. to green. I would see him playing in the four balls. That's what I would see.
What sort of an effect did that positive course form have into his inclusion? Was that a big factor?
I would think so. Paul's looked at every detail. He's looked at the statistics and what's needed on this golf course. It's pretty obvious that Stephen Gallagher plays well around this course, so that's got to affect the captain's decision. And the fact that he played all those last few events and played extremely well and under severe pressure, because obviously being a Scot, this is the closest venue he's going to ever have in his lifetime. He was desperate to get in this side, and he just had to be picked.
And you're up there in Glen Eagles at the moment, in the clubhouse. You mentioned the weather, it's sunny, but is it windy? That could play a factor this week as well.
Yeah, it could. It is a bit breezy, and I think the winds are forecast for Thursday at about 20 miles an hour and Friday, so that you're right. And it's a long golf course, so with the wind, it will play a definite factor. You would think the windier it gets, the better the Europeans, but hey, the Americans play well in the wind as well. I think you can look too much into that. The golf course is set up fairly. It's not tricked up. It's not narrowed in at any point. It's there to be played. I remember in Medina they had no rough because the Americans were under the impression they hit the ball much further than the European teams. They didn't want any rough. It's not the case here. There is rough. It's set up like you would expect a normal tournament to be.
We talked about the Europeans. Let me spin you through the prices for the top European player. Then we'll talk about the Americans. Rory McIlroy, 7-2 favourite to be top European player. Sergio Garcia, 11-2. Ian Poulter, 7-1. Justin Rose is 7-1. Henrik Stenson, 8-1. Graham McDowell is 10s, along with Martin Keimer. Lee Westwood, 14-1. Jamie Donaldson, 16s. Stephen Gallagher, Thomas Bjorn, and Victor Dubuisson, all 20-1. Obviously, you need a player that's probably going to play four or five matches. Have you got any idea who's going to play four or five matches here, Jamie?
As much as you have. Sergio and Rory at the top there, that's no surprise. I think Henrik Stenson will have a big Ryder Cup. This, of course, I think will suit him down to the ground. I think Victor Dubuisson will play well. He's not going to play four. He's not going to play enough games to be a worthy bet, I wouldn't think, but I think he's got the character to play well in a Ryder Cup, even though he's a rookie. I've got to look to the top. Rory McIlroy is hitting his driver incredibly well. It's a massive advantage for him. I'm not a favourite backer at times, but it's difficult to get away from Rory. Henrik's a bit tempting down there. I think if he starts winning, Henrik, he's a fearsome competitor. He's someone hard to beat. So I'm going Rory McIlroy, but I wouldn't put anybody off Henrik Stenson either.
A quick word on a man that you know very well, Justin Rose. He's 7-1 in the betting, Jamie. He's formed a formidable partnership with Ian Poulter in the past. Is that something you could see being rekindled this week?
It would be a massive shock if they didn't play together, wouldn't it, at some point? Although I think Justin can play with anybody. As most of the team members, actually, you can mix and match, but that's an obvious pairing, isn't it? And you've got to think, you know, the Americans are gunning for Ian Poulter, whatever that means. How well can you just go out and play your best? How you come for a certain individual? I'm not sure what plans they've got on that, but yeah, you've got to think that Rose and Poulter will be a partnership.
And let's talk about the American side then, starting with their captain Tom Watson. First of all, how does he compare as a captain to Paul McGinley?
Well, he's been there before. been a winning captain before, Tom Watson. They've sent out the big guns, haven't they, to come over here and wrestle the Ryder Cup back to go back to America. But he's only as good as his team. I'm sure he's going to create the right environments for his team to play. Redemption, they want the cup back and all that stuff. Time will tell, David, if he can galvanise his troops. He won't know the players as well as he did last time at the Belfry when he was captain a long time ago now.
Yeah.
Will that matter? I don't, probably not. He has utmost respect from throughout the world of golf and especially on the PGA Tour. He's got a good team.
He's been slightly criticised in the press for not waiting longer to make his picks, and that meant they missed out on Billy Horschel as a result, who, of course, FedEx Cup champion, won the Tour Championship impressively, actually won two of those FedEx Cup playoff events. It could be a big factor in what you anticipate, as you mentioned earlier, being a very tight Ryder Cup.
Yeah, it is. What's Horschel like at match play? I don't know. Would he have burnt himself out? You know, you can't keep playing to that level every single week. It's not like that golf. So he made his picks. I think he made good picks. Keegan Bradley's, a formidable partner for Phil Mickelson. So I think the picks he made to Mahan, you know, he's got a point to prove after Celtic Manor. So you know, I think Watson made the picks at the right time. I think he picked the right players at the right time. Yeah, you could argue Billy Horschel should be here, but you can end up chasing your tail in this, and maybe they'll look at it in the future. But will they miss Billy Horschel for Keegan Bradley? Probably not.
Do you think there's a reason behind them only having one success on European soil since 1993 at the Belfry? That was Tom Watson as captain, by the way. But do you think there's a reason behind that?
The reason is that Europe have got a lot of good golfers. We've not now in the past we had a pool of five or six extremely good golfers, world-class golfers, and the rest of the team sort of fitted around that. Now we've got 60. We've left out Luke Donald out of our side. Who would have thought that last time back? And there's a number of players in the previous team that aren't here either. So we've got strength and depth on the European Tour now. So we were a match for the Americans, and I think you know we've got that extra bit of sparkle as well in our team. We seem to gel as a team. Remember the last time America won the Ryder Cup was without Tiger Woods in their team at Valhalla. He's not here again. Is that an omen? I hope not.
Do you see that as a positive then?
I think so. Yeah, I think Tiger's record is disappointing. I'm not sure how much of a team player he is. You hear stories here, there and everywhere, but the American team got a very strong team. I think in world ranking terms, on average world ranking terms, the teams are pretty much equal. There is this perception that the European team is far ahead of them on that point. It's not the case. We are quite top-heavy European team. Americans pack quite tight and lower down. So, yeah, I think the teams are evenly matched. Will they miss Tiger? I don't think they will.
Top American player, Ricky Fowler, 11-2 favourites. Phil Mickelson, 6-1. Jim Furyk, Keegan Bradley and Matt Kuchar, all 8-1. Bubba Watson, Hunter Mahan and Jordan Spieth, all 10s. Webb Simpson, 12-1. Jimmy Walker, Patrick Reed and Zach Johnson, all in the betting at 16-1 to be top Americans this week. Who do you like in the market?
It's a new team, isn't it? A lot of new players. Who knows who's going to rise up to the challenge? I've got to think that if Ricky Fowler plays well, the Americans got a great chance. If he doesn't play well, because he's had such a good season, I think if Ricky Fowler doesn't perform, I think Europe will win the Cup. But he's a dangerous player, and I'm not surprised he's top of that market. And it's about time. Jim Furyk's been incredibly unlucky in these Ryder Cups. Last time he should have won his game, he didn't. So maybe he might come back and perform as well, Jim Furyk. But I like Ricky Fowler. I've liked him all year long. I think he's played some of the best golf of his career. You can see what it means to him. He's got USA stamped in his head. New haircut. He's got to be the man. He's the man. He's their Ian Poulter.
Despite the haircut.
He's their Ian Poulter.
So the outright, you mentioned this briefly, 4-6 for Europe to win it. The tie 10-1, the USA 13-8. Interestingly, the tie has traded odds on for the last two Ryder Cups. Just summarise your thoughts on the outright.
The outright, I would go Europe 14.5, 13.5. I would also save on the tie. It's too close. As the week progresses, suddenly the tie becomes closer and closer and closer. And also, don't forget, you know, we saw it the last Ryder Cup when it gets near the end and one team can't win or can't lose. Matches are conceded as well. So, you've got to take factor, if it's close, you've got to factor that in as well. So the tie is really not a bad bet at that price. I think you'll get a good run for you. It could go that way easily.
Superb. Thank you, Jamie. Pleasure speaking to you this afternoon, and hopefully it's an enjoyable week for Team Europe.
Yeah, go Europe. That's what we're all behind. The boys are in great form. It's going to be a great week. Can't wait.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.